It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Trey Schaap. A golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4-inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. UAMS Ortho Now, open at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you have an orthopedic injury, sports, work, or anything else, go in and see the best in orthopedic care. No appointment is needed. Ortho Now, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to noon. Located at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you need more information, call 501-686-TOSH. That's 501-686-8674. Coming up on this edition of From the Shortgrass, I talk with Chris Howard, one of the top instructors in the country. In fact, he travels all over the country bringing golf instruction to you. He lives in Las Vegas and has his golf academy out there, but he also travels the country. In fact, he's going to be in Little Rock May the 10th. You can go to his website, chowardgolf.com, to find out when he might be near you, and maybe you can just sign up and take a lesson from him. He travels all over the country taking golf to the players. I had a chance to sit down with him, and I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. He has plenty of ideas when it comes to making you a better player. That's coming up after the break. Stay with us.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
This is Justin Akery. If hand or wrist pain is getting in the way of your daily life, it's time to see the specialists at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. Their fellowship-trained hand and wrist surgeons treat everything from arthritis and fractures to nerve injuries and carpal tunnel. And with Arkansas's only hand trauma telemedicine program, advanced care is available around the clock. Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am Trey Schaap. Chris Howard, a top golf instructor in the country, lives in Las Vegas but travels the country, taking his knowledge of the game to you. In fact, he travels all over the country throughout the year. You can find his tour schedule online, chowardgolf.com. I was able to sit down over Zoom with him last week, and I bring you that interview now. On the tee, Chris Howard.
Chris, thanks for joining me on this edition of From the Shortgrass. Do you remember the first time you ever picked up a golf club?
Yeah, I think I played like one or two. I went to a driving range once or twice when I was like 3 years old, never picked it up. Then I went to a golf course and played nine holes for the first time in my life with a good buddy and his dad. Managed to birdie the first hole that I ever played in my life. And then from there, played about 8 absolutely terrible holes, but that kind of hooked me.
What do you remember about that birdie?
It thinned the ball terribly. It ran through a whole bunch of rough to about 20 feet, and then I drained my putt.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. Terrible shot. I mean, looking back on it now, nothing was done well about that hole, but we'll take a birdie, yeah, right?
I was going to say, knowing what you know now about the game, we'll get into that. But, Chris, did you ever try to play competitively in junior high school, make the high school golf team, anything like that?
I did. I was on a state championship golf team in Virginia, played competitively. Hockey was, at the time, my true passion. I played juniors here in the States.
that was my beloved sport growing up. So I never played college golf. And after hockey, I finished when I was 21. I got back into the golf industry, started teaching junior golf and all that stuff. But still played. I tried playing really low level professional tournaments and quickly realized I was giving away more money than I was ever going to make.
Right. Yeah, it's a difficult road to try and go down. No doubt about that. Real quick, how about the USA winning the gold medal in hockey?
I was up at 4:45 in the morning. I live in Vegas, so Pacific time. I was up at 4:45 in the morning, glued to my TV. I watched every single game during the Olympics for all teams. It was an amazing, you know, run of hockey. So it was awesome seeing them win. I never in my lifetime thought that I would see a USA gold medal, and I did.
46 years since the last one. A pretty impressive run.
Yeah, I was -6 when they got their first one. So, you know.
I get you. Yeah, no doubt about that. Chris, when did you know that you wanted to try and make golf a career? Because, I mean, playing hockey and everything and not playing golf in college, trying some of the mini tours and stuff. But when did you know that you wanted to try and make this a career?
When I say I played mini tour golf, I did it very part-time. I probably have 4 events, 5 professional events, maybe, in my younger days. When I got into golf, it was kind of a transition from hockey where I said I never wanted a office job. I never wanted to do that. So I started working at a golf course, and I got into golf course management early. And that also gave me the opportunity to teach there on the side. And I really loved teaching. I was surrounded by good players, good instructors, and I just got hungry to learn everything I possibly could about golf instruction. That's kind of how it happened.
What is the most important thing for any beginner golfer that you would tell them that they must do?
Have fun. That sounds cliche, but I mean, especially when it comes to junior development, right? So I have had, and I tell this to a lot of parents, I have had some really good players come out of my stable. I've had 2 D1 conference champions. I've had several who I started with when they were younger that have gone on to win professional tournaments at some level. So I've developed a pretty good background of talent, I would argue. And from the beginning, the kid has to be having fun. If, you know, it's work to get better. If it feels like work in the beginning, they'll never love the game. Because you have to build a love for this game if you want to make it to any level.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Chris, would you say that fun, number one, but then two, make it easy. Don't try to do the hard stuff. Don't go bomb drivers all the time, right? I mean, work on putting short game because that's where strokes are won and lost on the course, right?
Absolutely. So, I mean, going along with that, I 100% believe in a holistic approach to learning when it comes to paying attention to every part of your game. You know, driver, irons, short game, putting, scoring wedges, all that stuff should be developed at the same time. And if you're concentrating on just bombing drivers, you're not going to develop quickly. But I will say to that, when I have juniors, one of the reasons I think that they develop to be as good as they are is most of my players, pound for pound, hit the ball a long way. So when they're young, I like them to develop speed before I worry about fairways, right? I'm kind of a reverse instructor. I will let a kid hit the ball wherever it goes, and then as they get older, I will put the ball more in play. You know, but the whole game has to be concentrated on early on. If you're just sitting on a range hitting golf balls,
you're going to miss this game. Because when you talk about short game and putting, touch is something that it's taught, right? You can teach fundamentals, but, you know, short game and putting ability comes from just doing it and repeating it. So that has to be something that you're out there spending a lot of time doing.
What are some of the mistakes that you see beginners make that come to you for the first two or three lessons?
Mistakes that beginners make. Just what we were talking about, they're concentrating on one part of their game too much would be a huge mistake. Creating unrealistic expectations would be another mistake. I pride myself. I am one of those coaches that has made a brand off of getting players good as fast as I can. I don't withhold information. I get information out as quickly as I can to every player, as long as it makes sense. If a player's struggling with something, we're going to keep working on it until they get it. But, you know, having unrealistic expectations of what you should be shooting early on, realizing that, you know, to score, you need experience, right? So I think a mistake that a lot of adults make is they will sit there on the range and try and perfect everything with their swing, with their short game, with everything. And they'll spend a year trying to be the best range player they possibly can without touching a golf course. And then they go out on the golf course and they're terrible because, I mean, you know, I know everyone knows playing golf involves repetitions on the golf course, seeing scenarios, knowing what to do when you're in certain situations. So putting yourself in a position where you don't get that experience early on, even if you're bad early on, is a huge mistake people make.
Are you surprised, Chris, at some of the youth that is coming through the ranks, let's say like a Blades Brown, that are having the success that they are?
No. I think, you know, I'll say going back to TrackMan when that came out, the ability for instructors to understand what's truly going on. Like, no offense to the early day instructors. They did not have the technology that we have. They didn't have the 3D. The PGA of America up until 15 years ago didn't even know what caused a golf ball to start on a start line, right? And they taught that for 80 years. So players that would get good, even if they said it was a good coach, were doing that off of natural talent, right? Because the information that was being fed wasn't, you know, I look at old golf interviews and I hear a player, you know, talking about how they shape it around a tree, right? They'll be like, okay, so I'll aim where I want to swing where I want the club path to go so I can start it here. And then I'll point my face where I want the ball to end up, right? That was taught forever. It's like, well, if you're doing that around a tree and you actually did that, you're going to hit that tree and that ball is going to come back and hit you in the face. You know, so that now that we have the info and, you know, those players just found a way to do it, even though they thought they were doing something else. Now that we have the right info, we're still chasing info. There's still stuff that we can learn in this industry. Players are going to be better. More players are going to have the chance to get better when they're being given good information early on, in my opinion.
And you talk about that, knowing the info, trying to use that info like a TrackMan and everything, the evolution of that. I want to take you to Tiger Woods, and mm-hmm. he was with Butch Harmon for so many years.
Yeah.
Do you think if he would have stuck with that original swing that he came out of college with, where he just dominated the landscape, would he have still been able to win as much as he did? And would he have the problems that he's having now with his health?
In terms of his health, Tiger has always had a vertical shaft plane in his DNA, right? So there's a lot of movements that can cause injury with that. But I think Tiger's biggest problem in terms of injuries was some of the stuff he did away from the course and just wear and tear. You notice players that are vertical in terms of being on the vertical end of the spectrum, in terms of shaft steepness, just the way their bodies work through impact to make that work. It's a effective movement for players. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But you notice a lot of injuries. Freddie Couples is another example. There, you know, there's a lot of guys that have back issues with that. Could that be it? Maybe. Could it be everything he did off the course? Maybe. Could it just be all the wear and tear that he's put himself under by working so much at his game? Maybe. But I would say that Tiger had lulls when he was in his prime trying to revamp his swing, right? Mm-hmm. If you take those lulls out, and you know, he was the most dominant player on the in the world when he wasn't making swing changes. In theory, if you just kept him being dominant for the time he had, he would have probably beaten Jack's record. Now, I will also say, would Tiger have gotten bored with just doing the same thing? Maybe. Maybe that would have hurt him. You know, in my opinion, still the greatest player, still the greatest run of golf we have ever seen when Tiger Woods was in his prime. You know, no one has had a run like that before him, and I think it'll be a real long time before. Like, Scotty is having an amazing run. That is not Tiger Woods' run of greatness that he had in such a short period of time. Say Scotty goes off and wins 19 majors. He's going to do that over a longer period of time than Tiger did when he had all of his success.
Does Rory McIlroy have one of the best swings that you have seen?
I like Rory's move. I think it's cool. I've never gotten into the best move. I'm a functions and matchups instructor, so there's a million different ways to hit a golf ball. If you can find a way to hit it effectively for you, I love it. I think Rory's move is cool as can be. You know, I mean, it's powerful. I love it, too. I think it's a highly effective movement that has allowed him to, you know, play incredibly high-level golf. So that's all you can ask for out of your movement. Will it let me – if it lets a player play high-level golf, then it is a great move to me.
Are golfers athletes?
Oh, yeah. Now especially, you know. You when I was a kid – you used to see some of the big boys competing, you know. Now, I think Tiger is the one who really changed that. Everyone on the PGA Tour is in the gym, and they have a support team that's behind them, you know, physical therapists, everything that's behind them. I think to play high-level golf now, you have to be in really good shape, you know, to make it.
You travel all over the country teaching the game. Mm-hmm. Why do you do that?
I enjoy it. To be honest, I like traveling. I have online programs, but that are very beneficial, that, you know, players love. I also teach here in Vegas. I never was a coach who wanted to just go to the same golf course every day, see the same exact people week after week. I like to change it up, meet new people, get new challenges. You know, it to me, there's nothing more fun than the challenge of having a golfer, hearing what they want to achieve in the game, sitting there with a limited amount of time, right? You're at a golf school. These people have come up. How am I going to put them on a path to being able to achieve their goals? And I succeed a lot with that. I think my reviews would say so, but I like that challenge. You know, when someone comes out to you on your lesson tee, when you're teaching, you know, and it's in your hometown, whether it be Little Rock, New York, Vegas, wherever it is, and you don't have a great lesson with them, and you're like, all right, well, I'll get it next time. You know, they're on a package. I'm going to figure out. I like that challenge of knowing I have to fire on all cylinders with the player in front of me in order to get the results to make that player happy. So it's kind of a weird thing that I like it. And I really love traveling as well. So I get to see really cool places. I've taught 5 continents now. So I've seen the world doing it. It's a lot of fun.
Everybody is different. Every golf swing is different. But you help the player achieve their goals through the instruction. How do you figure out what works for each individual? Or is it a just something that you see and you're like, okay, this is what you need to do?
So I'm a functions and matchups instructor. I grew up, you know, if you look at George Gankis, who's a buddy of mine, you look at Chin Nakshivani, who's a buddy of mine, you know, up until then, the instructors, and I know George gets labeled a swing theory type instructor where he has, you know, a method, right? A method instructor. George, just from talking to him throughout the years, is one of the best functions and matchups instructors ever to teach this game. And you know, watching my friends develop their methodology, you know, basically what I teach and how I learned how to teach is based on looking, understanding biomechanics, how the body works, understanding physics. You know, the physics is a huge role in this game, obviously. And then looking at how other how players get things done and understanding matchups, understanding how the biomechanics can work with the physics. You can hit a golf ball so many different ways, right? But you can run into, I think the biggest thing that that golf instruction is based around, and this is the high level part of it. Most players I'd never have this conversation with, but I think, you know, when you look at forces that are applied to the handle, okay, whether it be in the backswing, transition, through impact, forces all come together to create an impact position to get a golf ball to do what it's going to do, right? You have to, there's a ton of different ways to apply the force to the handle to get it to work in a somewhat efficient manner. And there's tons of different matchups going. Finding which ones pair together in a golf swing is fascinating. And I have a good eye for that. So that's how I can work with every player. I was talking to, I was just having a conversation with a few golf pros the other day. And one of them was like, I hate when a player starts out by turning their trail hip to start their backswing. They're gonna get in a position where the club head gets so far behind them, they have no chance. I'm like, are they though? And he's like, yeah, I see it all the time. Well, maybe if we understood what we were doing with the forearms, if we were understanding what we were doing with connection, we left that club head out in front more, they can turn that right hip and then get that club coming up and get into a great spot and do forearm roll late in their golf swing. And they're going to be in a great spot at the top of their backswing. And the guy was like, oh, wow, I guess you could do that. So some players that turn that hip early are going to get stuck inside, be massive over the top, terrible players. You know, some players are going to find that matchup where they keep the club head out, get in a good position. Just a million different ways to do it. And, you know, finding what works for the individual player is fun.
Speaking about finding what works, alignment, rods, tools, tricks, you see these gadgets that professionals have on the course. I think it was Victor Hovland the other day that had bands around his back and everything trying to find some kind of move or something that it's like, okay, that's it. What are some of the good ones that you have seen that an individual could take to their range and utilize?
So I am a big believer when it comes to swing aids and drills. First off, whenever I show up, like when I have my Little Rock Golf School, I'm going to tell my players to bring alignment sticks. Okay. You can make so many drills out of alignment sticks. I like drills that force a block, force a movement, right? If a player is sucking the club too far inside on the backswing, put an alignment stick there to force them to get it up. Blocking something to force a movement pattern change is an incredibly effective training aid, right? So if you look at the hanger, that seems like something that's a gadget, right? But you're blocking a wrist movement with the hanger. You're forcing a wrist movement. Drills and swing aids that force movement patterns, I think, are highly effective. There's a lot of gimmicky, gadgety ones out there, so you have to be careful. But, you know, if it forces a movement change, if you make the original pattern, you're going to bang into it, I think that's a good swing aid.
How can people find you? And when are you going to travel to this part of the country?
I have a Memphis Little Rock run May 9th and 10th. I'm going to be that weekend. I'm going to be in both those cities. CHowardGolf.com is where all my tour dates are listed. I'm C. Howard Golf on every single social media platform. You can find me there. I'm everywhere in the world. I'm really looking forward to being back in Little Rock. It's been 4 years since my tour has come through there. I had a great event, and looking forward to doing it again.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you. All right, best golf course you've ever played, Chris?
Congressional.
Wow, yeah. Up in D.C.
Old Congressional. Old Congressional. I don't love the changes. Old Congressional was a piece of art. I know everyone likes to get rid of trees, but oh, that's depressing. That was such a great golf course.
Yeah, sometimes trees need to be thinned out and sometimes they need to be left alone.
Yes, I loved the Northeastern tree-lined golf course, and it seems that all the high-end courses up in the Northeast have decided that we need one tree on the entire property. That's kind of sad.
Yeah. Fantasy foursome, Chris, living or deceased, you and three others that you could play a round of golf with, who would they be?
My dad, who's still living. Tiger, Phil, Jack. And I say Tiger and Phil because I just want to hear them talk smack to each other the whole day.
I get that a lot. I get that a lot. More than you would know, but yeah. I mean you get those two together and they'll be, oh yeah, right. You just pulled that off. All right, well watch this.
Yes. That would be awesome to see in person. And there's right there with them, you know.
Right. And there's no shot, Chris, that either one of them wouldn't try to pull off to impress the other.
Absolutely. You know, I always told this story because I want my kids to be creative, right? One of the reasons you don't see me on TV is because I could be incredibly wayward off the tee, but I used to practice recovery shots that were insane. And, you know, I have such a respect for that. And watching some of the shots Phil was able to pull off, even in Tiger too, but some of the shots that Phil was willing to try was insane. I'll never forget in Fort Worth, he needed to birdie the last hole to win. And this dude doesn't care about money. This dude didn't care about second place finishes. He tried to run a ball across a pond to get it up there and run up on the green because he was trapped by trees and couldn't get the ball. I was like, this dude doesn't care. This is the coolest thing I've seen. You know?
Spectacular.
Yes.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Chris, I can't thank you enough for your time. Best of luck. And thanks so much, Chris.
Uh-huh. Yep.
The future is not about a bond reaching maturity. The future is what my grandfather worked for. It's what my father carried on. It's my responsibility today. The future is my son's tomorrow. At the Stevens Private Client Group, we believe that our strength builds success. Not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
This is Justin Akery. If hand or wrist pain is getting in the way of your daily life, it's time to see the specialists at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. Their fellowship-trained hand and wrist surgeons treat everything from arthritis and fractures to nerve injuries and carpal tunnel. And with Arkansas's only hand trauma telemedicine program, advanced care is available around the clock. Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
That's all the time for this edition of From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I want to thank Chris Howard for taking time out of his busy instruction schedule to sit down with me over Zoom. If you are interested in a lesson from Chris Howard, chowardgolf.com is the website you need to go to. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You have been listening to From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.